Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 1, observing the armies on the battlefield, Kurukshetra, text number 1. Tridrasru vacha, dharma kshetre kurukshetre, samaveda yutsavaha, mamekam pandavaishaiva, kema koravata sanjaya, Dhritarashtra vacha. King Dhritarashtra said, Dharma Kshetre, in the place of pilgrimage, Kurukshetra, in the place named Kurukshetra, Samaveda, assembled, Yutsavaha, desiring to fight. So what word do we have in our vocabulary that comes from Yuyutsavaha? What's that? What's it, that means festival. Judo. Judo. You've heard of judo? You know what judo is? That's a fighting. Yeah, judo. That's where it comes from, Yutsavaha. Judo, judo, judo. Mamaika, my party sons. So if someone says, what is this about? And they say, oh, I'm a martial artist. You say, this is where judo comes from. This is the original judo. Pandava, the sons of Pandu. Cha, and. Eva, certainly. Kim, what? Akoravata, did they do? Sanjaya, oh Sanjaya. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Tridharashtra said, O Sanjaya, after my sons and the sons of Pandu assembled in the place of pilgrimage at Kurukshetra, desiring to fight, what did they do? Prabhupada, Bhagavad Gita is the widely read theistic science summarized in the Gita Mahatma, glorification of the Gita, where it says that one should read Bhagavad Gita very scrutinizingly with the help of a person who is a devotee of Sri Krishna and try to understand it without personally motivated interpretations. The example of clear understanding is there in the Bhagavad Gita itself, in the way the teaching is understood by Arjuna, who heard the Gita directly from the Lord. If someone is fortunate enough to understand Bhagavad Gita in that line of disciple succession without motivated interpretation, then he surpasses all studies of Vedic wisdom and all scriptures of the world. One will find in the Bhagavad Gita all that is contained in all other scriptures, but the reader will also find things which are not to be found elsewhere. That is the specific standard of the Gita. It is the perfect theistic science because it was spoken directly by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. The topics discussed by Dhritarashtra and Sanjaya, described in the Mahabhagava, form the basic principle for this great philosophy. It is understood that this philosophy evolved on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, which is the sacred place of pilgrimage from the immemorial time of the Vedic age. It was spoken by the Lord when he was present personally on this planet for the guidance of mankind. The word Dharma Kshetra is a place where religious rituals are performed. It's significant because on the battlefield Kurukshetra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was present on the side of Arjuna. Dhritarashtra, the father of the Kurus, was highly doubtful about the possibility of his son's ultimate victory. In his doubt, he inquired from his secretary Sanjaya, what did they do? He was confident that both his sons and the sons of his younger brother Pandu were assembled in that field of Kurukshetra for a determined engagement of the war. Still, his inquiry is significant. He did not want to compromise between the cousins and the brothers. And he wanted to be sure of the fate of his sons on the battlefield. Because the battle was arranged before it at Kurukshetra, which is mentioned elsewhere in the Vedas as a place of worship, even the denizens of heaven. Dhritarashtra became very fearful about the influence of the holy place on the outcome of the battle. He knew very well that this would influence Arjuna and the sons of Pandu favorably, because by nature they were all virtuous. Sanjaya was a student of Vyas, and therefore by the mercy of Vyas, Sanjaya was able to envision the battle of Kurukshetra even while he was in the room of Dhritarashtra. And so Dhritarashtra asked him about the situation on the battlefield. Both the Pandavas and the sons of Dhritarashtra belong to the same family, but Dhritarashtra's mind is disclosed herein. He deliberately claimed only his sons as Kurus, and he separated the sons of Pandu from the family heritage. One can thus understand the specific position of Dhritarashtra in his relationship with his nephews, the sons of Pandu. As in the paddy field, the unnecessary plants are taken out. So it is expected from the very beginning of these topics that in the religious field of Kurukshetra, where the father of religion, Sri Krishna, was present, the unwanted plants like Dhritarashtra's son, Duryodhana, and others would be wiped out, and the thoroughly religious persons headed by Yudhisthira would be established by the Lord. This is the significance of the word Dharmakshetra and Kurukshetra, apart from their historical and Vedic importance. Dhritarashtra said, O Sanjaya, after my sons and the sons of Pandu assembled in the place of pilgrimage at Kurukshetra, desiring to fight, what did they do? So we just finished the Bhagavad Gita, the last verse in the Bhagavad Gita, which says, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partho Dhanordara, Tatra Shira Vijayo Bhutira, Dhruva Nitir Matira Mama. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mysticism, and where there is Arjuna who carries the bow, there will certainly be morality, opulence, beauty, and victory. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partho Dhanordara, Tatra Shi Shir, Dhruvaya Bhutir, Dhruva Nitya Matira Mama. So, approximately 700 verses later, we find out Dhritarashtra is going to lose. His sons are going to lose. Why they're going to lose, that's not really so important, but here it mentions that because they're impious. And Krishna wanted, Krishna himself had arranged the battlefield to kill all these impious warriors. Matter of fact, Paritranaya Sarunam Vinishaya Tadiskritam Dharma Samstapanarataya Sambhavam Yuge Yuge. That's an eternal principle. Wherever Krishna comes, and Krishna comes, his incarnations are coming like waves of the ocean, he always has the same purpose, to Paritranaya Sarunam, to save the sadhus, Vinashaya to Duskritam, and to annihilate the miscreants. And then Dharma Samstapanarataya, and to reestablish religious principles. So certainly this is a good time for Krishna to come, because where are the religious principles? The only place religious principles are where? Where are the religious principles now, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam? Yes, they're only in the Srimad Bhagavatam. What verse is that? Krishne Sudharma Upagate Dharma Gyana Jubi Saha Kalo Nashta Drisham Eva Paranarako Dunoditaha. So does anyone know what that means? Krishna swadharma upagate dharma jnana jabhi saha kalo nashta drishameva paranarako dunoditaha. What does that mean? What does Krishna mean? You know what Krishna means? Krishna, swa, swa, what is swa? His own. I can't understand. U-N-T. No, swa means himself. His. His. Swadharma. Krishna, Sadama, Dhamma. What does Dhamma mean? What's that?
Place.
Yeah, his abode. Like Vrindavan Dham.
We say dome.
We say dome when we have a dome like that. Dome, yes. Yeah, that's the same thing in all practically all the Slavic languages. Dome is house. Russian, and I think Croatian also.
Yes.
And Russian. So, Krishna Sudama, upagavate. What does upagavate mean? Take a guess. Now that Krishna has left for his own abode, dharma, jnana, dibi, saha. And when he left, what did he take with him?
What's
knowledge, dharma, jnana, and what else? Religious. So when Krishna left, so religiousness and knowledge left. That's why we don't find it anymore. Is there a lot of religiousness in Maribor and dharma? Knowledge and people on the street, they generally have knowledge and religiosity. No, I doubt it. Because Krishna took it all with him. Dharma, jnana, dibhi, saha. Kalo, nashta. What does kalo mean? Kalo. What's that? That is kala. Kali Yuga. Nashta.
Finish.
Yeah, nashta. Finish. Kalo nashta. Drisham. Drisham. Drishti.
Vision.
Yeah, so people have lost their vision in Kali Yuga. Kalo nashta. Drisham. Yevam. Parar narako. Was Parana. Purana. Yeah, Srimad Bhagavatam. Purana. Arka. What's Arka? The sun. Purana Arka. Dunoditaha. Unoditaha. Dunoditaha. So the Srimad Bhagavatam has risen like the sun to dissipate the darkness of Kali Yuga. Now the Krishna has left. The only thing left is Srimad Bhagavatam. So they ask you, are you religious? You can say no, but I have a book that is. It's all in the book. So because of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya, they're none different. They actually have light in them. And therefore Krishna, he arranged the battle of Kurukshetra not only to annihilate the miscreants, but also so he could speak the Bhagavad Gita in an appropriate place, so that he knew that Kali Yuga was coming, or probably had already arrived. Well, he knew that when he left, the Kali Yuga would be in full force, and therefore he left behind Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. So that we can actually get light, we can actually get enlightened, we could actually get sukha, happiness, and knowledge. And part of that is to uproot persons like Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, and his followers, because they were actually propagating ignorance. But of course, in this age, there's nothing but ignorance, practically speaking now. But it was expected, at least during the time of Krishna, that the kings should have been saintly, but they weren't. But of course, even before Krishna came, Parasurama had eliminated the Kshatriyas 21 times, the families, the descendants. So there's a tendency in the material world for impiety, not to follow Krishna's instructions. And therefore Krishna has an eternally coming, and Krishna is annihilating the miscreants, establishing religious principles, and protecting the pious. But in Kali Yuga, it's very special that Krishna doesn't generally personally kill the demons, but he comes to kill the demoniac mentality. Because the demons will, everyone in this Kali Yuga, especially on this planet, they live such a short period of time. There's no need to kill them because they're practically, by the time they're born, they're already practically dead already. But in the meantime, Krishna comes in order to give people transcendental knowledge in the form of Bhagavad Gita. That's why without the Bhagavad Gita, even the pastimes such as, even Krishna's pastimes that he displayed 5,000 years ago, they don't really have so much of a impact on people. Even in India, we find where people, they know about Krishna. Most people know about Krishna in India.
They say.
Yeah, they say, but they don't know anything about Krishna. Matter of fact, everything they know about Krishna is usually wrong. They like the pastimes, some of them. They know all about Krishna, but they don't know the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, they're worse than in ignorance. If you're in ignorance, as we can see in the Western world, at least at some time, when people are innocent, when they hear about it, they're receptive. But when people are already taught ignorance, an ignorant conception of Krishna, then they take it very lightly. They don't really appreciate him. Therefore, they're doomed. Of course, in India, there's many people who are still pious, and they accept Krishna consciousness. But there's India, and also the Western world is very much covered by impersonalism. They think that Krishna was just a manifestation of the impersonal Brahman. Or they take Krishna as an ordinary person who's very powerful, but after all, he was killed by a hunter. And all his relatives died in an intoxicated state, killing each other, fighting at Prabhakshetra. So they have a misconception, and therefore they don't take Bhagavad Gita, they don't surrender to Krishna. They don't follow his instructions. They know that some people know, they know the whole Bhagavad Gita, but they don't follow any of it. Therefore, the Krishna considers them amongst the faithless. Agya chasradanascha samshayatma vinashiti nanyam lokasti na paro nasukam samshayatmana. But ignorance and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures go to ruin and perish. For the doubtful soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, there are some people who don't know anything about Krishna consciousness. They have no idea. So obviously they're faithless because they don't know anything about Krishna. Others who know about Krishna, but they have no faith in the words of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. They may know the whole Bhagavad Gita by heart, but they don't believe in anything what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Others who know what's in the Bhagavad Gita and they have some faith in it, but they don't follow, but they don't know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So all of them are considered to be faithless. And of all of them, those who know nothing about Krishna, they're the worst. Therefore, yoga sanyasta karmanam. No, is that right? Yoga sinyasta karmanam, jnana sanchita samshayam, ameva shambit nibandanti. Yoga sanyasa karmanam, jnana sanchita samshayam, atma samsam nibandanti. Atma vantam na karmani, nibandanti dananjaya. Yoga sanyasa karmanam. One who renounces the results of his work. Yoga sanyasa karmanam. Jnana sanchita samshaya. Whose doubts are destroyed by transcendental knowledge. Atmavantam nakaramani. Who's situated in the self. Nibandanti dananja. Is not bound by works or conquered riches. So we can't say that Dhritarashtra and his followers fit into that category. Namely, yoga, sannyasa, karmanam. They were attached to everything they were doing. Jnana, sanchita, samshayam. They may have knowledge, but they misused it. Atmavantam, karmani. And they weren't situated in the spiritual conception. They were materialists. Ivandandi, dananjaya. And therefore, they got vanquished. So that's true for everyone in the material world. It may appear that someone has some kind of material opulence, but what is material opulence ultimately? It's just a product of ignorance. As a matter of fact, the more material opulence you think you possess, then the more you're in ignorance. If someone has a little bit of stool, then he's not very wealthy. But if he has a whole truckload of stool, he's not any wealthier than the person who has a little bit of stool. Because after all, what is the value of stool? So things can be utilized in Krishna's service, but the important thing is not utilizing things in Krishna's service. The important thing is the mentality of trying to please Krishna. Otherwise, things have no value. If you have a lot of material wealth, education, beauty, whatever. And you have, even if you try utilizing Krishna service, but if it's not with the right mentality, it doesn't have the same value as someone who has very little wealth or opulence or education, but does something to please Krishna with sincerity. So the important thing in the activity is not the opulence. Just like when Dhritarashtra or Duryodhana wanted to bribe Krishna by offering him some elaborate feast, Krishna wasn't interested. He simply left the palace and went to Vidura's house, where Vidura offered him the peels of the bananas. Because Vidura was so ecstatic when he saw Krishna, he peeled the bananas, but he didn't know what he was doing, so he offered Krishna the peels, and Krishna very happily ate the peels, rather than eating the big feast coming from Dhritarashtra. Or Duryodhana. So the most important thing that we have is our devotion to Krishna. Other than that, nothing has any real value. Therefore, yoga sanyasta karmanam, jnana sanchina samshayam, atmavantam na karmani nibanandi dananjaya. The one who renounces the results of his work, whose doubts are destroyed by transcendental knowledge, is situated firmly in the self, is not bound by his works or conquer riches. So that's why we have to come to the platform of doing that. Any questions or comments? Or else we'll be just one of those plants that Maya will uproot and toss away like everyone else. You see in the world nowadays, you know, people are lamenting, there's so many problems going on, so many horrible things. It's unfortunate. Vaishnava is very compassionate, so they don't like to see those things. But they understand that it's because people just don't accept Krishna consciousness. And it's also because the devotees aren't really that determined to spread it. Therefore, they're doomed to get the reactions of their work. Now, it may appear extremely unfortunate to a person who's not aware of the fact that we're all eternal. It seems like you know, there's a beginning and there's, and then there's an end. And that's so unfortunate. People just, they had an opportunity to enjoy for another couple of years and they missed it. But what's the big deal? A couple of years is nothing in eternal time. They really miss very much. As a matter of fact, when people, there's a war and people are killed, it's really for their advantage. Because if they would have not been killed in the war, they would have gone on with their sinful activities and they would have gotten a lower species of life than they're going to get when they get killed earlier. So actually it's to their advantage to get killed earlier so they don't have to go down to such a lower species of life. Of course, the real thing is to give people transcendental knowledge so they stop their sinful activities. If we're giving out knowledge, so-called knowledge, and people don't stop their sinful activities, or they're not relieved of their tendency for sinful activities, then our preaching is useless. It has no value. We may be very much impressed, or we may have thousands and thousands of followers, but if they don't give up the tendency to sinful activities, then what is the value of our preaching or following us? That if they can't give up their, well, if they can't use their words, if they don't utilize their wealth, they don't utilize their intelligence or their lives in Christian service, then we haven't really made any effect on people. On the other hand, even a few people, if they actually take Krishna's words seriously, then actually that's success. Then there's actually progress. Otherwise, what is the progress? People may go to church or the temple or the synagogue or the mosque and pray to God to give them things, and that's also nice, but that's also temporary. Because after they get those things, unless they appreciate how nice Krishna is and try to actually reciprocate and surrender to him, then they just take Krishna as an ordinary person, maybe like one of the demigods or something, who fulfills desires. But unless they become attached to Krishna, then their life is wasted. Yomam eva masambudo janati purushottama sasarvavit bhajante mam sarvabhavena bharata. Yomam, anyone who understands me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting is said to be the knower of everything, and therefore engages himself in full devotional service. Iti guyatma shastram idam yuktva namaya naga etam buddhva buddhivatsyat krita kritasravarata. That this is the most confidential part of all Vedic knowledge, that anyone who knows it will become wise and his endeavors will know perfection. So unless people take up devotional service, then the human form of life is wasted, which is very unfortunate. So therefore it's our duty to at least try to help the unfortunate people become fortunate. That will be our fortune also. That will show Krishna we're interested in really serving him, because that's what he wants. Krishna is not happy to see so many suffering souls in ignorance, who don't know what the purpose of life is, and they're just waiting to be uprooted by the material energy. So Krishna, anyone who helps him in that endeavor to help the conditioned souls understand what is reality, what their real purpose in life is, then Krishna is very pleased with them. So that's our mission. Chant Hare Krishna, distribute the books, and then train people that Krishna is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We just don't want to chant and distribute books. We also want to convince people, those who are sincere, try to train them that Krishna is God and then train them to utilize their energies in Krishna's service so that their life becomes progressive. Anything else? Anything? Everyone's convinced? Khala, Granthara Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.